اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ حی علی الصلاح حی علی الصلاح حی علی الفلاح حی علی الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Inshallah, after the dua, there'll be a Heave's completion ceremony. All brothers are invited to participate. Jazakumullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. برحمتك يا أرحم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Before we begin, I request all the brothers to come closer by, because there's many people who will still continue to come in. So if we come closer by, inshallah, and facilitate for others, Allah Ta'ala will give us a great reward in the hereafter. Jazakumullahu khaira. And those brothers who are not in need of taking assistance of the walls or the radiators, they are requested to come close by as well. Shukran jazeelan. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are experiencing this auspicious occasion in which a student of our Madrasa Nurul Islam will be completing his memorization of the glorious Quran. And alongside this, we are also more than fortunate that we have amongst ourselves Sheikh Ahmed Ali Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, who hopefully inshaAllah ta'ala will be introduced by Mawla Ismail Sahib, But just one thing I want to mention, even though I may get myself into a lot of trouble later on, is that we've all heard of the names within the UK. Mullah Abdul Rahim Limbada Sab, Mullah Bilal Bawa Sab, Mufti Shabir Sab. All these names we all know very, very well. And when we hear these names, they come to our masjid, then we literally pack out the masjid. Once it comes to these seniors of ours, we find that within their settings, the guest of honor is Sheikh Ahmad Ali Damat Barakatuhum. And the sad situation is that despite having him within Bradford, we literally take minimal benefit from him. And even more sorrowful is that many of us don't even know who he is. MashaAllah, he has his own institute. He's a graduate from Darul Ulum Berry. And for those who are influenced by the Arab world and the Arab seminaries, alhamdulillah, he's a graduate of Azhar, he studied there. He's a graduate of Medina University as well. And alongside all these academic credentials of his, he doesn't only run the institute, he's the Sheikhul Hadith there. And he tours not only the country, but he also goes abroad and he assists people in the academic journeys, whether that relates to the religious side or even the spiritual side. So my humble request initially to myself and thereafter the remainder of us is that we try to benefit from him whilst we have him. We all have this nature which is a really bad nature we have, that we only start to value people after we lose them. After they move out of our locality, then we think, oh, we had such a great person within us. So let's make it a point. He has his majalis, he has his programs, and it wasn't easy for Hafiz Pando to get this program as well. Sheikh's book like 1 year in advance. So this is, we're lucky we have him. So let's find out at Al-Ma'had, Eternal Light, the programs he has, the majalis he has, and let's benefit from him, my brothers. It's not only about knowledge. It also comes down to spirituality. And spirituality matters more than knowledge within our religion. So Mullah Ismail Sahib will introduce him, insha'Allah ta'ala. So before we continue on, we call he's our student, Abdul Rahman Pando. He will come forward and he will render recitation of the glorious Qur'an. The younger brother of the student who will be completing his Qur'an.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطعنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله. May Allah Ta'ala accept his recitation and beautify it even further. I now call upon Mullah Jamil Hansrat to come forward and render a nasheed insha'Allah Ta'ala, after which Mullah Ismail Sahib will continue.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukriya e hafizo iska raho karte ada hifze Qur'an ke liye Allah ne tumko chuna Shukriya e hafizo iska raho karte ada hifz Qur'an ke liye Allah ne tumko chuna Das azizon ki sifarish ka tumhe mujda mila Isse badhkar hifz Qur'an ka bhala kya ho sila Das azizon ki sifarish ka tumhe mujda mila Isse badhkar hifz Qur'an ka bhala kya ho sila Mil gaya hai Rab se das be aasron ko aasra Hifz Qur'an ke liye Allah ne tumko chuna Abbu ammi ko khuda wo taj kal pehnayega jiske aage chand aur suraj ko girhan lag jayega Abbu ammi ko khuda wo taj kal pehnayega jiske aage chand aur suraj ko girhan lag jayega Shart bas ye hai na ho qaulo amal mein faasila hifz Qur'an ke liye Allah ne tumko chuna Jo bhi is Qur'an ka ek harf padhta hai janab Bil yaqeen das nekiyon ka usko milta hai sawab ye hame farma gaye hain sayyid-e khairul wara hifz quran ke liye allah ne tumko chuna hifz quran ke alfaz tumne kar liye la logo har se to daman tumne apne bhar liye ab amal ki motiya chunne ka aaya marhala hifz quran ke liye allah ne tumko chuna taib khasta bhi dua go hai tumhare waaste tum bhi karna ab duaye is bichare waaste دے بھی سکتے ہیں بھلا کیا ہم دعاؤں کے سوا. حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا, شکریہ اے حافظوں اس کا رہو کرتے ادا. حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا, حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا.
بسم اللہ الحمد للہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسول اللہ وبعد. First of all, it is with great joy and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we welcome all our guests to this special occasion. We all gathered here today to celebrate the completion of the Quran by one of our students, Hafiz Zaid Pandor, the son of Hafiz Imran Pandor Sahib, who has now completed the memorization of the Holy Quran. And today, for myself and for many of us, we've been specially honored to have amongst us Shaykh Al-Adiz Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Sahib, Hafizahullah. And Hazrat's presence has brought happiness and immense blessings to this gathering, inshallah. And through Hazrat knowledge, his guidance, his inspiring words, inshallah, we'll all be motivated. And we deeply appreciate Hazrat taking time out to be with us today. May Allah Ta'ala preserve Hazrat for the khidmat of deen, and may He allow him to continue benefiting the ummah, and may Allah Ta'ala grant us many more opportunities to benefit from him. We finally make dua that Allah Ta'ala accepts this gathering and grant this gathering maqbooliyat and qubooliyat, and we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to preserve the Quran within the heart of our hafizab. And inshallah, without further delay, I know everyone's eager to listen to Hazrat, so I'm going to invite Hazrat to come forward and share his words of advice with us.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال جل وعلا: ما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. وقال جل وعلا: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Respected Mashaykh, elders, ulama, brothers, sisters, mothers listening at home, little ones, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ajiz, fakir, miskeen, dhaif, mustajir, Al-Muhtaj ila rahmati rabbihi wa barakati, begins as always by first thanking you, my host, for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah accept these humble efforts of yours in showing your love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your eagerness and your desire to progress in terms of your deen, as I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these tutti frutti efforts of mine in trying to deliver the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My young friends, I'm nothing but the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni Abdullah, I am nothing but the servant of Allah. And there's no great honor for me and for you more than this. That your master has acknowledged you. What more can a servant ask for that his master acknowledges him? His master acknowledges that we belong to him, we are his. And when a master acknowledges that we are his, my young friends, we can always and will always live in hope. That in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our impurity, in spite of our wrongdoing towards our Khalik and our Malik by day and by night, he still acknowledges and says that we are his. There's no honor far greater than this for me and you. And this is what I like to remind myself of today. The consequences of disobedience. The consequences of going against the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The consequences of rebelling. The consequences of committing guna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created hundreds and thousands of different creations. From the birds in the heavens, to the fish in the oceans, to the creepy crawlies within the crust of the earth, makhluk, in their hundreds and thousands which you're aware of, which you will become aware of, and makhluk which you're not aware of, and which you will never become aware of. And this makhluk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, there are makhluk out there that do not commit sin, don't have the ability to commit sin. They don't have the urge and desire to commit sin. Allah's created them like this, like the angels. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُعْمَرُونَ. Angels are a pure makhluk, a nurani makhluk. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By day, by night, they carry out Allah's instructions, acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's makhluk like you and me, the humankind, jinn kind, that has the ability to do good and does good, but at the same time has the ability to rebel, has the ability to do wrong and does wrong. As humans, khuliqa al-insanu dha'ifa, we're weak. With our natural weakness, every single one of us has a shaitan with us to our left. Whenever a son is born to the son of Adam, a child is born to Iblis. And that child that is born to Iblis is then appointed with that son of Adam, and it stays with him to his left till his last breath, looking for any and every opportunity to incite him to evil, to incite him to go against the teachings of Allah and rebel against his Khalik and his Malik. At the same time, Allah's created is وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا وَجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have our nafs. Sometimes the shaitan gets the better of us and we become ghafil. Sometimes our own nafs, our own ego gets the better of us and we rebel. And sometimes we're in the wrong crowd at the wrong time. You're sitting with your friends, you've never taken dope. Peer pressure gets the better of you and you slip. And you start taking dope. So sometimes it's peer pressure. And because of this, we rebel, we will commit sin, we will go against the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a believer, illa man asima rabbuk, except those that Allah has protected, because of his weakness and because of all these other factors, to some degree will always commit sin. And Allah knows this. This is the will of Allah. If you and I didn't commit sin, then Allah would create a creation that would sin, to whom Allah would then give the tawfiq to make ruju, to turn, and then Allah would purify, just like the day their mothers gave them birth, free and pure from sin. But a good believer is he, my young friends, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. A good believer is he, when he commits a fahisha, when he commits evil, or he wrongs himself by disobeying Allah and going against his teachings, he remembers Allah. He stops. He remembers Allah. He turns to Allah. He doesn't persist in evil. He turns to Allah. He makes rujoo and he seeks purification for his guna. This is a good believer. My young friends, every single one of us today, to some degree, is involved in guna. Illa man asima rabbuk, except those that are Allah's protected. Wama hum illa qaleel. Whether we're taking dope, whether we're selling dope, whether you're gambling, whether you're committing zina, actual zina, or whether it's just the zina of the eyes and ears, whether it's acquiring wealth through haram means, whether it's dodgy car claims, insurance claims, or whether it's dodgy family credit, universal single parent claims, slandering, backbiting, you name it, every single one of us to some degree is involved in guna. The scary bit, my young friends, is the fear of Allah has begun to disappear from our hearts. It's not the guna. The guna is bad in itself. What's far worse is we've become jari. When it comes to committing guna, we're not bothered. We'll commit it openly. Balki, many times, my young friends, we've become blind. We can't actually see the guna that we're committing. And because we can't see the guna that we're committing, we will never make rujoo to Allah. We will never ask Allah for purification and for forgiveness. Because what we're doing, we don't even see as an evil. We become desensitized. Whereas, my young friends, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say with regards to a believer, with regards to a good person? A believer has fear in his heart with regards to Allah. He doesn't become jari. A believer, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he sees his guna as a mountain. He sees it as a big thing which he fears that will fall upon him. Whereas a immoral person, he doesn't see his guna as anything. He sees it as a fly. We just sat on his nose and he just easily waved it and turned it away. There's no fear in his heart. He's jari. My young friends, the message for today is simply this. Guna, rebelling, going against the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a no-go area. It's detrimental. It's disastrous. Not only for the person that commits that guna. My young friends, you'll be surprised to learn. Guna is so khatarnak. Disobedience is so khatarnak. So khatarnak. Not only does it destroy the individual, guna and disobedience will destroy every single thing within this kainat that Allah has created. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created out there. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. How big is this kainat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? Millions and millions, balki billions and billions and billions of stars. One galaxy consists of billions and billions and billions of stars. How many galaxies have you got out there? Hundreds and billions and billions and billions of galaxies are just within the first heaven. There are seven heavens. My young friends, our small minds cannot even comprehend what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created out there. And every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is in perfect harmony and has been in perfect harmony for billions of years. Only Allah knows when He created this heaven and the earth. No one can tell you. But if you ask scientists today, okay, when did Allah create the heavens and the earth? They'll tell you millions and millions of years this heaven and the earth have been created. But look at millions and millions of years. Go by their calculation. Every single thing is in perfect harmony, showing obedience to Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَصْبِيحُمْ. Nothing disobeys Allah. Nothing disobeys Allah. No tree, no stone. Look at the size of the sun. Look at the size of this creation. It's been in existence for millions and millions of years, as science tells you. Every single day it rises from the east and it sets in the west. You will not find one day since Allah created it, this sun rose from the west and set in the east. Everything in perfect harmony. There's no khalal in Allah's nizam. There are billions and billions of stars out there. Not once did this ever happen where a star has collided with planet Earth and put an end to planet Earth, and then Allah had to create another planet Earth for people like you and me. You will find one example in millions and millions of years. My young friends, what will put an end to this nizam? What will put an end to these billions and billions of stars, millions and millions of planets? When will إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ? The heavens will split. Seas will burst forth. They will be on fire. When will this take place? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. When will that take place? إِذَا وَقَأَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةٌ خَافِضَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ. When will that take place? My young friends, when on this planet, within this sky and earth, all you find is total disobedience. There is not an iota of obedience. There is not one single person saying La ilaha illallah. All you find within the kainat is kufr and shirk. And these are the worst forms of evil. My young friends, now there will be khalal in Allah's nizam. And every single thing will come to an end. Guna will destroy the kainat and everything within it. مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah says, whatever calamity befalls you, it's because of your guna. It's because of what your hands have earned, the gunas that you're doing. Allah says, زَهْرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Fasad has appeared in the land and sea. Fasad has appeared in the land and sea. Why has fasad appeared? Because of your a'mal, so that Allah may make you taste some of the what you've done, so that you may return. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse of the Quran, fasad has appeared in the land and sea. What's fasad? Corruption has appeared. Evil has appeared in the land of sea, in the land and sea. Evil, whether it's in the form of coronavirus, evil, whether it's in the form of landslides, evil, whether it's in the form of earthquakes, evil, whether it's in the form of tsunamis, evil, whether it's in the form of these fires that you're seeing at this moment in time, as you listen to the reminder in California. Why does this happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. This happens, one of the causes of this evil, one of the biggest causes, one of the biggest suburbs for this fasad and for this evil and for this corruption and for this destruction is none other than the gunas that you commit, the bad deeds that you do. So when somebody is committing sin, you know, we've got this carefree attitude of committing sin that there's no fear and we've become jari. My young friends, when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not just harming yourself. When you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you rebel, when you go against His teachings, you're not just harming yourself. You're harming everything within this kainat. You're harming the environment. You're harming the animals. You're harming the birds. You're harming the fish in the ocean. You're harming the trees. You're harming the plants. My young friends, why is it? Open the book of Allah. When a kafir dies, one that doesn't believe in Allah, one that rebelled, one that disobeyed Allah, when a kafir dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ. When he dies, the heaven and the earth don't cry. Yeah, what is the connection between a person that doesn't believe in Allah and his dying between the heavens and the earth? To you and me, there's no connection. But Allah is saying, when he dies, the heaven doesn't cry and the earth doesn't cry. The reason they don't cry, my young friends, is because they were harmed because of his existence. The earth was harmed. The heavens were harmed because of his existence, because of his rebelling, because of his going against the teachings of Allah. This is why they don't cry. Balki, they express gratitude, Allah, There are lakh shukr, all praise and gratitude be to you that you've rid us of the evil of this individual. Whereas when a believer dies, my young friends, in the dunya, his mother is crying out his loss. His father is crying out his loss. His brothers and sisters are crying out his loss. My young friends, at the same time, the heaven is crying out his loss. And the earth, zameen, is also crying out his loss. Why are they crying? Now they're deprived of the dhikr that would go to the heavens. So the heaven is crying. The heaven was benefiting from the barakat of that dhikr. The zameen was benefiting because of the barakat of that dhikr. Now because they've been deprived, because that believer has passed away, they begin to cry at his loss. Oh, afsos. Oh, afsos. Open the books of a hadith, my young friends. Why is it when a person, mu'allimun nas al-khair, any person that teaches people good things, why is it in a hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fish in the ocean make dua for him? What's the connection between somebody like Mawlana Ismail, who teaches Quran and hadith, which is doing good, mu'allimun nas al-khair, in Nurul Islam, and fish in the North Sea, fish in the Atlantic Ocean, every single one of them, when he teaches good, they're making dua for him. They're saying, oh Allah, I beg you, forgive him. Oh Allah, I beg you, purify him. Not only the fish in the ocean make dua for him, the birds in the heaven, the Prophet ﷺ said, make dua for him. The Prophet ﷺ said, hatta namla fi juhriha, the ant in the ant hole makes dua for any person that does good, that teaches people good. The ant in the ant hole makes exactly the same dua. Oh Allah, forgive Mawlana Ismail. Oh Allah, purify Mawlana Ismail. Because they're benefiting. Their existence, their wujud, his wujud, my wujud, your wujud is on this obedience. When there's no obedience and there's disobedience and it prevails, then there's harm. My young friends, when there's an earthquake and the cause of the earthquake is guna, the suburb is guna, then what happens? Is it just the few people that were committing guna that are harmed as a result of that earthquake? Our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, anahliku wa fina salihun. Ya Rasulullah, will Allah destroy us when there are people like Mawlana Ismail and Mufti Saifuddin and Mawlana Abdullah within the community in Bradford who elevate your kalima and spend day and night teaching Qala Allah and Qala Rasul and guiding people to the Sirati Mustaqim? Will Allah destroy us when we've got pegs like this amongst the community? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, idha kathur al khabas, when evil prevails, when guna prevail, then Allah will not look at whether you've got Mawlana Ismail, whether you've got Mawlana Abdullah, whether you've got Mufti Saifullah within the Muslim community. When evil prevails, then Allah will destroy and everyone will be raised according to his intentions on the day of judgment. So when you're committing sin, my young friends, when there's an earthquake because of sin, it's not those that were just involved in committing guna. How many people die when there's an earthquake? Those that committed sin die, those that didn't commit sin die. Thousands die. Thousands lose their limbs. Properties are destroyed. Businesses are destroyed. Multi-millionaires are holding begging bowls, begging for a morsel. It takes generations and generations to rebuild. This is the consequence of disobedience. So my young friends, do not be disappointed. Okay, when you come and stand before the Almighty Allah on the Day of Judgment and you lived a life of disobedience and you rebelled, do not be shocked and surprised to see millions and millions of people which you're unaware of, which you harmed indirectly, are standing in the court of Allah waiting to bring a case against you because you indirectly harmed them in the dunya. Allah finishes off the verse, لِيُذِيكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي أَمِلُوا لِيُذِيكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي أَمِلُوا. You know this calamity that came in the form of a tsunami or whatever it may be. This is not punishment for all the guna. No. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. This is not Allah's way. This dunya is not darul jaza. This is not the place where Allah will punish you for your gunas. No, it doesn't work like this. Allah's kept that for the akhirah. Allah's kept hisab kitab for the day of judgment. Majority of the times, it will happen in the akhirah. Now and then, it will happen in the dunya. And even what happens in the dunya, because if it happened because of guna, Allah saying clearly, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ لَا ظَهْرِ مِنْ دَابَ. If Allah took you to account for every time you did wrong, never mind humankind, there would be nothing walking on planet earth. Everything will come to an end within the kainat. And then, what you see is not full punishment of the guna. What you see in the form of a tsunami, where thousands die, or you see in the form of a, what you call it, coronavirus, or whether you see in the form of a plague or an earthquake, this is not full punishment of that guna that you committed. No, Allah is saying, لِيُذِيكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي أَمِنْ. Allah is just introducing Himself. Allah is just giving you a taste. Allah is just reminding you who He is. Allah, even this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you and I see this little reminder from Allah, and we don't persist, we make rujoo, and we turn to Allah, thus saving ourselves from the greater punishment of the Jahannam and the greater punishment of the Akhirah. My young friends, if this is the consequences of guna, that it will not spare the kainat and everything within it, disobedience is what will bring an end to this nizam and to this kainat, which has been in existence for hundreds and thousands and millions of years. My young friends, what do you think of the individual that's committing that evil and committing that guna? What does it do to that individual? How does it harm the person that's actually committing guna? When people, animals indirectly are harmed because of his guna, then how do you think it has an effect on him? Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion was reading Surah Rum in namaz. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confused in salah. Who's confused? The being, the very individual sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon whom the Quran was revealed. The Quran was revealed. And Allah Himself took the responsibility, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ, that we will preserve your heart in your, the Quran inside your heart, you will never forget it. And who's standing behind him? Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een, and people like this. He's reading Surah Fajr Salah, he's reading Surah Rum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become confused. Mutashabihat laggi. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on that occasion? There's no heart purer than the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why he was chosen as to be Sayyid al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, Muhammad al-Alameen. No human has ever walked this earth or will walk this earth right till the day of judgment better and bigger in rank and purer than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after this to the Sahaba, why is it that people read namaz with this la yuhsinun al-tuhur, that don't do their wuzu properly? Why is it people read namaz with us that don't do wuzu properly? Now, what were they doing wrong in wuzu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I can only assume that they left out some sunnahs in wuzu, or they left out some mustahabat or etiquettes in wuzu. Because if they left out the faraiz, then they can't even read namaz because their wuzu would not be done. So Allah knows best. I can only assume it was something like this. The point that I'm making is they left adab, they left sunnahs. Now, to leave a sunnah in wuzu is not a guna. But look at the nuhusat of that, the effect of that. And upon whom? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The effect of not doing a amal in a manner that a person should do it with all the adab, with all the sunnahs, with all the mustahabbat, had a negative effect on the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My young friends, can you imagine what guna will be doing to the person that commits the guna? He progresses. He becomes blind to the guna, that without even realizing, he leaves the fold of Islam. Today, my young friends, we're crying that our children are becoming murtad. People don't become murtad overnight. In general, I'm talking in general. Here, there'll be our time. A person will wake up as a believer and by the evening he's a kafir. In the evening, he'll be a kafir, and he'll work. In the morning, he'll be a believer. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentions that. But in general, this is not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In general, a person who was Muslim for 25, 30 years of his life, then if you look at his father, mashallah, he was also a born Muslim. 100 years of his life. Then when you look at his grandfather, he was also a Muslim. His great-grandfather was all a Muslim. This is his family tree. Now, this guy overnight is not just going to wake up one morning and say, you know what, boys? I've had enough of Islam. I reject it. I don't believe in God. People don't become murtad overnight. People don't become murtad overnight. Just like people don't become Pablo Escobar's overnight. People don't become Al Capone's overnight. People don't become Al Chapo overnight. Can you become Al Chapo tomorrow, Muhammad? And declare, you know what, boys? This is my cartel. Like all of you here, you're working for me. And we're supplying here, 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 blah, blah, blah. And you give 100 guns out. Anyone that disobeys, pop. Bob's. Bob's your uncle history. Can somebody just become Al Chapo all night? He's dreamt of Al Chapo and tomorrow morning declares, bye, I'm Al Chapo. Does it work like this? No, my young friends. It starts somewhere. How does somebody become Al Chapo? It starts 20, 30 years before. Where? In some school maybe, some home maybe. You know what? He's decided. Okay, you know what? He's scared inside his heart, but he's seen a pencil that he likes. He's 4 or 5 years of age. The nafs, shaitan gets the better of him. And what he does is, shall I steal this pencil? Shall I not steal this pencil? He's contemplating. He's scared. He's scared. He's scared. And then you know what? The shaitan's got the better of him. When this person is not looking, he stole the pencil and took it home. 4 or 5 days passes. He's seen no comeback. So now he becomes more jari. He becomes courageous. And he'll steal another pencil. He's got away with it. He'll become more courageous. Now he'll steal a rubber or a pen. Like this, he'll progress. In stealing, in thieving, that from small things, he'll move on to big things. He'll move on to mobile phones. He'll move on to other things. Then it gets to a stage, my young friends, where there's no fear. Before, he was doing it secretly without people looking, without people knowing, hiding in shops, waiting for people to leave their homes. And when they've gone, they'll burgle, they'll rob. No, my young friends, it gets to a stage where now he openly, while people are inside their houses, he's not bothered. He'll walk in with a gun and he'll put a gun to their head and take whatever they've got. And then it gets to a stage where he's not scared of using the gun. If he has to pop a few to get what he wants, he'll do it. This is how people become Pablo Escobars. My young friends, the progress of a sinner is no different. People don't just wake up and become murtad. You know, and father will approach Mufti Saifuddin, okay, look, please have a chat with my son, kya ho gaya? He was fine. He wasn't fine. You just couldn't see what was wrong. You never interacted with him. You never spent any time with him to know his thoughts and belief and what he's thinking and what he used to get up on his mobile phone, who he used to associate with, what he used to do in school, what messages he was receiving from there. You never took interest. The only time you took interest is when it was too late. It's gone. It's history. Yet now you need a magic potion. You're looking for Wali Abid. You need a magic potion to put him right. It doesn't work like this. You know, that might be good enough for you to put you at peace and rest, but you're deceiving yourself. But you can't deceive Allah because it doesn't work like this. Where does it start from? It starts from, where does a sinner start from? He doesn't start studying dope straight away. It starts from a minor sin. Yeah, it's only a small sin. And you'll commit it. It's only a small sin. No accountability and you'll commit it. This mindset, my young friends, is what destroys a person. This mindset. More than the actual guna, you know, this carefree attitude when it comes to guna is what will destroy this individual. Because if you look at guna like this, oh, this is small, it's fine. This is big. You know, I need to refrain from it. When you see guna like this, you'll never leave guna. You and I shouldn't be looking at the size of sin, but okay, we should be looking at the greatness of the being that you're disobeying, that you're committing the cry against, the magnificence of this being. It makes a massive difference. Time and place, even in terms of the dunya, when you commit a crime, makes a massive difference. You rape a woman, 30 years of age, it's a bad thing. It's an evil thing. Was it the same as raping a 9-year-old child? A 9-year-old boy or a 9-year-old girl, defenseless? Is the same? Is it the same? Both are rape. But the difference is between heaven and earth. Committing zina outside and committing zina in the house of Allah, the difference is heaven and the earth. Committing zina in this house of Allah and committing zina in Makkatul Mukarrama, inside the haram, in Baytullah, the difference is heaven and earth. The difference is heaven and earth. When you wrong and commit crime in terms of the dunya, my young friends, likewise, when you look at guna like this, okay, look who you wronging. My young friends, in the sight of Allah, Allah doesn't look at, you know, a minor and major. This is Allah's fazl, that there is minor and major. And minor and major, major will only be forgiven if you make tawbah. Major guna is guna for which there's mention of punishment in the Quran and Sunnah. It will only be forgiven if you make tawbah. Whereas a minor sin will be forgiven if you make tawbah. But at the same time, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at. If you do good deeds, for example, you prayed namaz, it will wipe away your minor sins. You did wudu, it will wipe away your minor sins. Even if you haven't made tawbah, even if you didn't intend. You read Jummah, it will wipe away your minor sins. You do qiyam on the night of power, it will wipe away your minor sins. So this is Allah's fazl, that one will be wiped away even if you don't make tawbah, and one will be wiped only if you make tawbah. This is Allah's fazl. This is Allah's fazl. Okay, one, he might not take you to account. And the other one, he may take you to account if he doesn't want to shower you with his mercy. This is Allah's fazl. But the way Allah views it when you disobey him, the way Allah views it is that you have no regard for him. When you commit guna, whether it's small or whether it's big, what Allah sees is, you know what? I acknowledge this servant to be mine. Look what he's doing. He's got no regard for me. Just like a father. You know, your father tells you to do something. Your father tells you, you can go get me a glass of water. Yeah? So you go get a glass of water. Sorry, your father tells you to get a glass of water and you don't go get him it. Now, it'll only take you 2 minutes to go get a glass of water. Okay? Your father tells you, okay, son, you know what? It's dangerous out there. Bichari people will be in difficulty. They come for namaz. Go clean the pavement. Go take your shovel and clean the pavement. Now, that'll take you 1 hour, 2 hours. Your father gave you both instructions. My young friends, what the father will see, and you didn't do that, and you didn't do this. Your father won't look at, okay, hold on, I told him to do a more difficult thing there and he didn't do it. And I told him to do an easy thing here and he didn't do it. What your father will see when you don't carry out his instruction is, you know what? You've got no regard for him as a father. And both will anger him. Not that you didn't bring the water, not that you didn't clean. What will anger him? Yeah, this is my son. Look what I've done for him. I've showered him with countless, endless blessings and still I do this and I asked him for something and he didn't do it. Your father will be angry and displeased because what he sees is that you have no regard for him. When you start viewing guna like this, you'll never commit guna whether it's minor or major. My young friends, this is where it begins. You start on minor sin, you commit it once, what will you do? You'll commit it again. Not realizing, persistence in minor sin becomes major. You've gone camping. Now you want to go and cook biryani? You want to feed people in Nur al-Islam? Now you've gone and brought, you need wood for the fire. So you've bought one piece of wood. Now you need to cook a deg for 300 people. Now with one small piece of wood, a twig, will you be able to cook that deg for 300 people? No, it's not sufficient. But what you do now is you bring one piece of wood, you pile it, put it down. Then you go bring another one, put it next to it. Put a third one, put it next to it. You keep on bringing pieces of wood. And you've got a huge pile here. Now, my young friends, you were bringing it one by one. But with what you've got now, you will only be able to cook a biryani for people of Nur al-Islam. You'll be able to cook a pot which will take care of every single guy in Bradford. When you're committing sin, my young friends, that one piece of wood, and you're the biryani that's going to be cooked, won't cook you, won't harm you. That one piece of wood that you bring won't cook you, that one guna may not harm you. But even with regards to that, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what it can do. Because only Allah is the judge and what He will judge, only Allah knows. But in general, you may feel that one little piece of wood is not sufficient to cook you. But then you've cooked, that you've committed another guna. That's another piece of wood. You've committed another. You keep on committing. My young friends, you've now accumulated enough minor gunas that will not just burn you. They leave nothing within you. So you start like this. This is why the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Beware of the gunas which people consider small, hakir. Why? Prophet ﷺ said, for they will accumulate and they will destroy man. So you start from small and you'll do another. What will happen thereafter? He started from pencils to rubbers. And then he moved on to bigger things. Mobile phones, people's cars. You'll start from small guna. And then one day, from minor, you'll move on to major. You'll take dope, major sin. You'll take intoxicants, major sin. You'll start gambling, lottery ticket, a major sin. What will happen now? What will happen now, my young friends, is gunas breed guna. Gunas, they give birth to gunas. They breed guna. When you commit a guna, all you'll get at the end of it is more guna. So, give you an example. You took dope at the age of 30 years or 35 years of age. All your life from zero to 35, you resisted. And you were successful in resisting. You overpowered the shaitan with regards to it. You got waswasa. You overpowered it. You didn't commit the guna. Your nafs was telling you to take it. You'll get maza in it. You overpowered your nafs. You didn't commit it. How many times you were in, you know, with friends taking dope, you didn't take it. For 35 years of your life, you were very, very strong and you didn't commit the guna. Then one day, you were on a downer anyway. And you know what? The shaitan got the better of you. You were with a few guys, they were taking dope. They offered you and you thought, you know what, Chalyar, I'll only do it once and I'll never do it again. And you took it. My question is, my young friends, you tell me, when do you think this individual will commit the same guna again, take dope? The first time, he resisted 35 years. My question is, do you think the next time, going by this maths, it took him 35 years to commit the first time this guna, do you think now he will be the age of 70 when he takes dope the second time? Gunas breed guna. It wouldn't surprise me, my young friends. I'd be surprised if he can get through a year. Illa man asima rabbuk, except those Allah protects. I would be surprised if he gets through a year before committing this guna. Second time, a year. Third time, 6 months. Fourth time, every month. Fifth time, every week. Before you know it, my young friends, he's now hooked. He's become a junkie. He can't leave it. Now he's selling his mother. Now he's stealing. He's hooked on gambling. What belongs to his children, he's sold. He's hooked on it. And on top of this, my young friends, what will happen? He'll be deprived of ilm. Any person that commits sin, the more guna that you commit, the more that you will be deprived of ilm. And ilm is everything. It is only with ilm can you acquire a ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of your life and my life is to build a ta'aluk with Allah. Praying, when we pray, the objective is to build a ta'aluk with Allah. When you give zakat, the objective is to build ta'aluk with Allah. When you give sadaqah, the objective is to build ta'aluk with Allah. You can only build ta'aluk with Allah is if you know who Allah is. If you do not know who Allah is, you can never build a ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person commits guna, he's deprived of ilm. If he's deprived of ilm, he will never be able to progress in terms of his deen. Two things don't mix. Water and oil do not mix. Likewise, my young friends, darkness and light cannot and do not mix. Guna is darkness. Ilm is nur. Nur and dhulmat, darkness, cannot mix and do not mix. You know, the great Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, was sitting before Imam Malik. Just to keep him out on the time. What time are you doing, Hifz? Easy, man. Just tell me straight none of this. 5 past 4, bang on. There's no martial law, bhai. Raj aapka hai, bhai. Aap is masjid ki imam hai, sir, aankho par, you're my elders. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi was sitting before Imam Malik. Now Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, when he sat before Imam Malik and he read to him, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was fascinated and impressed by this young Shafi'i because of his intellect, kamali akal, because of his understanding and because of his intelligence. What Imam Malik said to Imam Shafi'i is, Imam Malik said to Imam Shafi'i, "Oh my son, I see that Allah has caused nur to enter your heart." You know, he was that impressed, and he knew this is only because of the nur inside his heart. "I see that Allah has caused nur to enter inside your heart. I have a little nasiha for you, and the nasiha is this. Oh my son, do not pour out that nur and extinguish that nur with the dhulmat and darkness of guna. Do not commit guna, or else that guna will pour out the light that's inside your heart." This is why, my young friends, you find children, when they're young, they can memorize things. You can recall, just look at yourself. You know, when you were 10 years of age, 12 years of age, 8 years of age, and look at your, I mean, never mind you, I can look at me. When I was 7, 8, 9 years of age, and look at me now today, 40, 50, whatever. Yeah. When your children can remember things, and they can memorize things. Look at today, mashallah, the child is a child, and he's memorized the Quran. Even with the Quran, you know, when you start memorizing at an older age, 30, 40, you'll struggle. Even though Allah has made Quran such that it can be retained and it can be memorized, you will not be able to memorize it like you memorize things as a child. Why is it a child is able to memorize things a lot quickly and retain them, whereas that same individual, Allah has given him the same intellect, you know, 20 years down the line or 15 years down the line, he's able to remember things and retain them? It's the purity of the heart. It's the heart that preserves things. The purer the heart, the more you will able to remember and retain. The purer the heart. You know, a child doesn't commit the gunas that you and I commit. Children don't commit zina. Generally, 8, 9 years old, you don't see them taking an interest, you know, of every single guy within the community. What did Adambhai Patel do? What did Zaneera Begum do? Do you understand? Where were they shopping today? Where did he get the money from? Do you understand? Oh, he must be claiming both things, working and claiming dole. You know, they don't do these type of things. Adults do these type of things. Adults slander. Adults backbite. Adults will do dodgy claims. Adults will commit zina. Adults which will watch porn. Small children are masoom. They don't do these type of things. And because they don't commit these gunas, their hearts are pure. Their hearts are pure. So pure that they can retain anything. My young friends, you know, if you ever work on this heart and you purify it, that it glows, believe me, you'll find that this heart can see better than what the eye can see. For some of you, this might be very difficult to digest. And the reason it's difficult to digest, my young friends, is because we're far from the deen. So we find it difficult to comprehend these things. Because obviously everyone does qiyas upon himself. You know, when we hear stories of what you call it, Imam Shafi'i reading 60 Qurans in the month of Ramadan, or Imam Abu Hanifa reading 60 Qurans in the month of Ramadan, for some of us, it's far-fetched. Why? Because we do qiyas upon ourselves. So you look at yourself and you think, you know what? I'm not taking the mic here, I'm just stating a fact. So you time yourself and you think, you know what, Chal, let me time myself, yeah? And it's taking you 10 minutes to read one page. So you times that by 28 sides in the Quran, which is normally one juz. That's some serious time. And then you're thinking, what? Guy reads the Quran a day? And it takes me 6 months? It can't happen. Molly Sahib's made it up. It's mathematically impossible. It can't happen. Because you make qiyas upon yourself. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, you might find it difficult to understand this with regards to the Abu Hanifas of the world and the Shafi'is of the world. You have people today that can do it. There are people today that can recite the Quran in a day. There are people today that can recite 2 Qurans in a day. My young friends, when the heart is pure, you'll see that it can see better than the eye. The eye can only see, I can only see as far as Zulfikar and Mawlana Zakaria Pandor, may Allah bless him. That's as far as I can see, and that's with good eyesight. That's after having an operation. I can see as far as this. My young friends, you know, if my heart was clean and just make dua that Allah makes my heart clean, I won't be able to just see where Mawlana Zakaria is. You know, if Mawlana Zakaria here and now was sitting in America, I would be able to see him. I would be able to see him. This is only when your heart is pure. So a child's heart is pure. This is why he's able to retain things. And when you grow older, because you're committing more guna, the heart is black. You're finding it difficult to retain. Imam Shafi'i, he complained to his ustad, you know what, I can't remember things. So what did ustad say to him? فَأَرَشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَآسِ His ustad said to him, don't commit guna. Who is he telling? Imam Shafi'i. Now, what gunas, you know, somebody on that level of taqwa, what do you call it, Imam Shafi'i, what type of guna do you think he could have committed? His ustad is telling him, don't commit guna. Why? لَنَّ الْعِلْمِ مِن نُورِ اللَّهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَ لِعَاسِ Ilm is nur, it's light. And the light of Allah is not given to anyone that commits guna. This is why you find, you know, muhaddiseen, like Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, Abu Zara al-Razi, and people like this, if you read their biographies, they would know hundreds and thousands of hadiths off by heart with sanad and matan, with chain of narration, and the text itself. Whereas people like yourself and myself, never mind hundreds and thousands of chains of narration, we would struggle just to remember our own family tree off by heart. And we'd have to do door every single day so we don't forget it. Why? Because it was level of taqwa, there was purity. I mean, look at Imam Bukhari's father. He's on his deathbed and he's saying, and he's a successful businessman. And he's saying, in my wealth, and he'd accumulated thousands and thousands. He was well-to-do. Imam Bukhari was well-to-do. Thousands and thousands. He said, at the point of his death, there's not one dirham, £1, which I acquired from haram sources. In my entire wealth. Not just that, he says there's not £1, one dirham from haram sources, balki there's not even one dirham in which I had doubt whether it's halal or haram. There's not one dirham in which I had doubt whether it's halal or haram. This was his father. What type of son do you think this father and mother would give birth to? And it was because of this level of purity that they would look into a book once and they would memorize it. A photography, memory. They would memorize it. Imam Bukhari knew hundreds and hundreds and thousands of these off by heart. Ali ibn Hashram says, whichever book, I think it was Waqi, he says, whichever book Waqi had, I'd memorize all the hadith, I know all the hadiths off by heart. So somebody asked him, what's the secret? How are you able, any book Waqi's got, you take it, and you look at it and you've memorized the hadiths. You've remembered the hadiths. What's the secret? How do you do it? And he mentioned, stop committing guna. Stop committing guna. Because when you commit guna, what happens? When you commit guna, there's a black dot on your heart. When you make tawbah, the black dot disappears. When you don't make tawbah and you commit another guna, there's another black dot. There's another black dot. There's another black dot. The whole heart becomes black. Then how is this light going to enter? Light, noor, and guna don't mix. How is this light going to enter? Look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Who was Abu Hanifa? Look at the qabooliyyah that Allah gave to Imam Sahib. Qabooliyyah that Allah gave to Imam Sahib, it's visible today. 1300 years plus have passed since Imam Sahib's died. Around that much, more or less. And today, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave qabooliyyah to four mazhabs. Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, and Hanbali. Four mazhabs Allah gave qabooliyyah to. And out of the four, the most qabooliyyah was given to the mazhab of Abu Hanifa. Most people, believers, follow the fiqh of Abu Hanifa. This is the qabooliyyah that Allah gave him. They nicknamed him the peg because he would stand for hours on end in qiyam. He wouldn't move. So that's why they called him the peg. For years, he would make wudu for Isha. And with that same wudu, he would read Fajr namaz, meaning he wouldn't sleep the whole night. Read two Qur'ans every single day in the month of Ramadan. And you can go on and on and on. Now, what maqam was this individual on? What maqam? Let me tell you what maqam he was on. He was on that maqam. You know, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that when a person makes wudu, when he washes his face, all the gunas that he committed with his face, they come out when he makes guna with the last drop of water. When he washes his hands, when the last drop of water falls from his hands, all the gunas that he committed with his hands come out from the tip of his fingers. Likewise, when he washes his feet, all the gunas that he committed with his feet, they come out with the last drop of water that comes out from his toes. Prophet ﷺ has said this, and it's haq. He could see people's gunas. He could see, and he would tell people that, you know what, don't disobey your parents, you're disobeying your parents. He could see the gunas. So he, and you know, Allama Sha'rani, who's a Shafi'i, he's narrated this with regards to Imam Abu Hanifa. That Allah bless him like that, he was Sahib Kashif, and then he made dua to Allah, Allah, I don't want to see people's guna. Oh Allah, take away this blessing. And then he, you know, it came to an end. Now look at what level do you have to be to receive this type of blessing from Allah? You'd have to be one of those purer than pure guys. He's saying, he would say, you know, when he couldn't understand something in terms of the deen, in terms of fiqh, in terms of Islamic jurisprudence, you know what he would say to his students? I've committed some guna, that's why I can't understand it. I've committed some guna as a result of which I'm being deprived. And then you know what he would do? He would make tawbah. He would make istighfar. He would make rujoo to Allah. He would turn to Allah and he would make tawbah. And sometimes thereafter, he would stand up in namaz. And in namaz, Allah would inform him. Allah would give him the answer. And after namaz, he would say to his students, I hope the guna that I've committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven it. Gunas don't just deprive you of ilm. Unfortunately, my young friends, this is the intro. And another time, another place. The whole objective, my young friends, the message is simply this. Stay away. You don't know the harms of it. It's not just minor. People don't just become murtad. It starts from here. And people progress. They don't realizing they're progressing. They're deprived of ilm. They're deprived of a'mali saliha. They accumulate in guna. Their du'as are, the chances are, they won't be readily answered. There's no barakah in their rizq. All they'll find in their lives is what you call it, hurdles and obstacles. They're getting way further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get to a stage where they're insignificant. They get to a stage where they're committing guna, that haya disappears. They openly start committing guna and they start boasting about it. They get to a stage, my young friends, where the heart is blocked. They become blind because of the guna and now they left the fold of Islam without even realizing. And now they've got to a stage where, my young friends, their abode will be nothing other than Jahannam. This is just the harms in this world. Can you imagine the harms in terms of the Akhirah? and what will happen. May Allah protect you. May Allah protect me. And may Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon my words. For there is no one more impure than me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq as well. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah bil alameen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
We just request the two ustads of the young boy to come forward, Hafiz Ismail Saab and Mullah Abdullah Kara. So if Hafiz Ismail Saab and Mullah Abdullah Kara can come forward. And also Mullah Hussein Saab. Mullah Hussein Saab Abita Sharif Lai.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maulana ka bayan English mein tha, meri samajh mein aa jata hai, aa nahi aata hai. Sahi baat. English se mujhe jaldi samajh mein nahi aate. Lekin bahut si baatein jo waqiat hai na, wo waqiat zehen mein aa jate hain. Main sirf ek hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki, اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے حضرت جبرائیل علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کو یہ حکم دیا تھا کہ اس بستی کو جا کے تم الٹ کر دو. उसको पूरा ऊपर से लेकर नीचे उसको अपसाइड डाउन कर दो उसको उस बस्ती को. हजरत जिब्राइल अलैहिस्सलाम ने फरमाया कि बारी तआला इसके अंदर तो ऐसी शख्सियत भी इसके अंदर है जो अल्लाह की इबादत करते एक रत्ती भर भी उन्होंने गुनाह नहीं किया. अल्लाह तबारक व तआला ने फरमाया कि उसको छोड़ दो, उसके साथ ही पूरी अस्थि को तुम उसको अलग कर दो. जब मौलाना गुनाह की बातें कर रहे थे ना, तो ये गुनाह इतनी खराब चीज है, हर चीज इतनी जड़ जो है ना कि ये इंसान को खत्म कर देते हैं. इसमें नेक इंसान उस इलाके में रहने वालों को भी उसके अंदर फिरे हो जाता है. लिहाजा इससे बहुत परहेज करना चाहिए, उससे इस्तगफार जरूर करना चाहिए और अल्लाह वालों से ताल्लुक रख कर अपने सफाई, अपने दिल की सफाई ये जरूर होनी चाहिए. दुआ करो कि अल्लाह तबरक व तआला हमारी हिफाजत फरमाए. बिस्मिल्लाहिर्रहमानिर्रहीम. सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम अला मुहम्मदिन व अला आलि सय्यिदिना मुहम्मदिन व बारिक व सल्लम. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل الدعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولاخواننا الذين سبقونا بالايمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين امنوا ربنا انك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اهدنا ونجنا من القوم الظالمين وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. بچوں کی حفظ کیا تو ان کے والدین کو بھی مبارک ہو اور ان کے والد کو مبارک, ان کا خاندان اس کے اندر اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان کی کوئی.
Where are they going to go upstairs from? They can't go that way, it's this way. Should we just send them this way? Are you sure? Okay, so the brothers who are waiting outside and they're going to perform Salah, we request them to go upstairs, inshallah, towards this front side of the building. So if we can initially complete the rows, and then those who are still waiting outside, they requested to go upstairs and perform Salah towards the front of the building. Jazakumullah. Okay, that's fine. So we can even also use the back staircase and just go towards the front side of the building upstairs. Jazakumullah. We request the brothers to engage in dua and also the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and try to keep the volume minimal. Shukran jazila. تمام حضرات سے مؤدبانہ گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ یہاں کے آداب کو ملحوظ رکھتے ہوئے ذکر یا دعا میں مصروف ہو جائے اور انشاءاللہ چند منٹ میں پھر مغرب کی اذان ہو جائے گی. اور انشاءاللہ تعالی مغرب کی نماز کے بعد سب کے لیے اوپر کھانے کا انتظام کیا گیا ہے. تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ نماز کے بعد تشریف رکھے. Inshallah, food has been prepared for everyone. After the Maghrib Salah, they are requested to go upstairs. And just another request, there's plenty of people standing between the rows, so we do request that you go upstairs and wait there for the prayer to begin. Look at this. Hum to itna hi keh sakte hain, abhi amal karenge wo to hum pe hai. Humne apni koshish kar li hai. If we can just sit down in the rows, please. If we sit down in the rows, then there's two options. One is you sit down in someone's lap, or the other option is that you go upstairs, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah. Shukran jazila.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
جزاكم الله خيرا. We greatly appreciate and we value everyone attending the gathering. May Allah Ta'ala accept everyone's attendance. And we also show our heartfelt gratitude to Shaykh Ahmed Ali Damat Barakatuhum. He took time out of his busy schedule and he blessed us. May Allah Ta'ala accept all his efforts, bless him even further. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to come out of this negligence of ours and to benefit from him immensely. InshaAllah Ta'ala, after the remaining Sunan and Nawafil, food will be served for all upstairs. We request everyone to go upstairs after prayer and partake of the meal. InshaAllah Ta'ala, سنن اور نوافل کے بعد تمام حضرات کے لیے کھانے کا انتظام اوپر کیا گیا ہے تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ سنن نوافل کے بعد اوپر تشریف لے جائے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ اللہم انت السلام ومنک السلام تبارک یا ذا الجلال والاکرام ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنہ وفی الآخرۃ حسنۃ وقنا عذاب النار برحمتک یا
I Yes. Yeah, let me head down.